Scripture reading today is from Matthew 25, starting in verse 14. For it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted them to his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also, who had the 2 talents, came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Thank you, Dan. I want us to look at this passage today for just a couple of minutes and talk about what it really is teaching us. In many ways, it's a misunderstood passage of Scripture. There's so many things we could say about the parable of the talent, so many lessons that we could learn. But I think the one thing that stands head and shoulders above everything else in this parable is that ultimately this story teaches us that as disciples of Jesus Christ, we're not meant to play it safe. We're not meant to hedge our bets. We're called on to risk it, to go for it. And did you notice how it ends? Take the 1 talent from him and give it to the man who had 10. Use it or lose it. Those who use it, those who invest, those who give their time, their finances, their heart, who trust God, they receive so much more. So let's look at the story. It's a familiar parable, a story of 3 men. Each one is entrusted with the resources of their master, not necessarily their boss, but master. These guys are literally owned by this man. They're servants. They're bond slaves. And I think today that when we think of servants or slaves, we have a tendency to think of people that are uneducated or poor or that need to be freed. They're mistreated. But as we look back in the first century world, as we put this into the context, servants were some of the most respected people in the household. Some of them were extremely high educated people. They were school teachers. They tutored the children in the home. Many of them managed household affairs, businesses. Others handled the finances of their master. And that was the responsibility of these 3 guys. Their job was to manage the finances, the financial affairs of their master. They were given what we would call a trust, a sacred trust. So let's just define a trust. A trust is literally a legal title to property held by one party for the benefit of another. Years ago in 1976, when Jimmy Carter was elected president of the United States, he had his peanut farm in Georgia. The first thing he did was he gave that in trust to someone else to manage it. That's what a trust is. Now, God has given to you and me a trust. And these three men are an example of what that trust is like. They had the responsibility of handling their master's money and handling his finances in such a way as to maximize, to increase their master's worth. Now, how much were they entrusted with? Well, a gold talent in that day was worth today what would basically be $30,000. The five-talent man got $150,000 then. The two-talent man received what would be $60,000 or 60 million won. And the one-talent man, 30 million won or $30,000. Now, again, how much is that in today's dollars? Let me see if I can calculate this for you. The average wage earner in that day, if he spent 20 years working and saving everything, would be able to save one talent. One talent. 20 years working, not spending anything, saving everything, one talent. So 160 years spending nothing and saving everything is how long it would take to come up with the amount of money that's been entrusted to three men by their master. Just to give you an idea of how much wealth they were entrusted with. And that's at least a part, if not all, of what he had. But I want to stop a minute, and I want to apply this parable to you and me. Jesus, Christ, Messiah, Lord, is our master. And as disciples of Jesus Christ, we are his servants. The Bible actually calls us bond slaves within the context in which it was written. And the truth is that our master has entrusted you and me with his resources. And what that means is that all of our gifts, all of our talents, all that we own, all that we ever hope to possess, all of it is ultimately the gift, the blessing that comes to us by the grace of God. God owns it all. The Bible says the cattle on a thousand hills belongs to the Lord. The scripture says that the earth and the fullness thereof is the Lord's. Now up on the screen, you notice what I've said there. Let's get it up here. Yeah, what do you have? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, ask us a question. What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did not receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? And then underneath that, I've got James chapter 1, 17. Every good and perfect gift is coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Now listen to me, because all of us have this struggle. I have it, you have it, it's human nature. It's easy to think that the talents we have, the creative gifts we have, the intellect that is ours, the houses, the cars, the bank accounts, the stock portfolios, it's easy to look at all of those things and think, oh, they're mine. It's my gift. It's my money. It's my car. It's my house. After all, we spent the time getting the degrees to go out and earn the money. We spent the money on the education. We developed the gifts. We invested and earned the money. Kind of reminds me of Jimmy Stewart years ago in an old classic movie called Shenandoah. He is a farmer, and he's leading his family in a prayer at dinner time. And so he thanks God for all that they have. And then he says at the end of his prayer, and we thank you, God, for all that we've had. But after all, we're the ones that had to work and sweat and toil and break our backs and put calluses on our hands to get it. But God, we thank you anyway. And I think sometimes we're like that. Sometimes deep down inside, I think we're like Jimmy Stewart, and we think that the stuff of life, whatever that stuff is, belongs to me. But it doesn't. The truth is, everything you have Every gift that I have, we have because of God. Whatever it is. I was in Texas for 12 years, and I heard a story about a pastor who preached on giving. And he talked about the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And during the sermon, there was a very rich, wealthy rancher seated in the congregation. And so this wealthy rancher invited the pastor out to lunch after, over to his house. And after they had lunch, they went out and he took his truck. He drove out on his big ranch. And at one point, he stopped the truck and he got out with the pastor. And he pointed to the north and he said, "Pastor, as far as you can see, I own that land. It's all paid for. Don't have a loan from the bank. It's mine. I have the deed." And he did the same thing, pointing to the east and to the west and to the south. He said, "Pastor, as far as you can see, for 360 degrees, all of that is my land. And you mean to tell me that none of it belongs to me?" And his pastor said, "Ask me that question again in 100 years. You see, your gifts, your talents, your money, your resources, all that you have is on loan. God has graciously entrusted you with the stuff of life. And I know we don't like to hear it, and I know sometimes we've gotten in a day and an age where we just come to church to feel good, and I like encouraging you. That's probably my primary gift. If you sat under my preaching for any time, you know that's true. But at the same time, we need to hear that we're going to have to answer to God for the gifts, the talents, anything and everything that He's entrusted us with in life. And that's the way it is with these three men. Each was entrusted with the master's resources, each given responsibility to make the most out of what they had. And what did they do? Well, you know the story, the five-talent man and the two-talent man. They acted wisely, prudently, faithfully. They invested the money they had been given, and they received a healthy return. They doubled what they had. But the one-talent man, honestly, he acted like a fool because he took the money that had been given him and he hid it. He buried it in the ground. He failed to use it. He failed even to invest it. He held on to it, afraid to take a risk, afraid to lose it. Now, why did he act like that? And this is what I think Jesus is getting to in the parable. Look with me in verse 24 and 25. At what it says. Verse 24 and 25. "He also who had received the one talent came forward saying, 'Master,'" don't miss this, "'I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here's yours, take it.'" Now I want you to notice the two reasons that this one talent man wasted, squandered, did nothing with what the master had given him. The same two reasons, and this is why I think Jesus told the parable, that many of us misuse and fail to use the talents, the gifts, the resources, the stuff of life that God has given us. What are the reasons? Well, they're just simply two, and they're up on the screen behind me. The first one is faithlessness. This one talent man was faithless. He didn't even have the faith to hold on to his talent. He buried it in the ground. Why was he faithless? Well, what did he say in verse 24? "I knew you to be a hard master. I knew that you reaped where you hadn't sown." Basically, he's calling him a thief. "You're a hard man. You scattered seed." And basically what he's saying is he's accusing his master of being a hard, ruthless master. Now listen, you don't have to be a Bible scholar, you don't have to be a great theologian of the New Testament to understand that the owner in this parable points us to is symbolic of who? God. The one talent man then is accusing God of being hard and harsh. And that's the point of the parable. Some people, maybe some of you here today, deep down inside, don't really trust God. You really don't believe that God is gracious and loving, that He's a Father, a heavenly Father, who wants what's the very best for your life. In fact, I want you to notice something else about this one talent man, and it's true of many people today in the church. Ultimately, this one talent man blames God for his lack of faithfulness. He says what? I knew you were hard, so I was afraid and I did nothing. I would have done something if you hadn't been such a hard, scary master. He's blaming God. He's saying, if you weren't so hard and harsh, I would have done something. Instead, he did nothing and he blamed God for his faithlessness. Now, I wonder if the one talent man, just speculating, I wonder if he didn't look at the two talent man and the five talent man and say, you know, they've got so much more than me. They've been blessed with so much more than me. And I wonder if maybe he didn't become bitter and negative and cynical, and if in his cynicism and bitterness he didn't ultimately blame the master, blame God. If he didn't say deep down in his heart, if only he had entrusted me with what he entrusted them. My master has shortchanged me. He has cheated me. He has robbed me of my chance. And he became bitter and cynical toward the master. Some people do that with God. They look at the gifts and the talents and the resources of other people, and they blame God, and deep down they say, if only God had given to me what he has given to those people, then I could do something worthwhile with my life. I could make a difference. But now here's a shocker, and I want you to listen to this if you don't hear anything else today. Most of us seated in this place today, we're like that one talent man. In fact, I think that's why Jesus told the story, because most of us are just like that one talent guy. We're just average, ordinary, everyday folks. And yet so many of us in our averageness, our ordinariness, we use that as an excuse to do little or nothing with our lives and for the kingdom of God. We use it as an excuse to be faithless. But there's another reason up there that this one talent man was unfaithful and misused his gift. He says in verse 25, I was afraid. I think he was afraid of losing the money. And yet it's interesting to me that the master says in verse 7, at least you could have invested it and earned some interest. But in his fear of losing what he had, he did nothing. Years ago, I read a story about a young man who lived in the middle of America, far away from the oceans. But his dream, his whole life as he grew up, was to become a sailor on one of those tall, masted sailing ships they had back in the 19th century. And eventually got old enough where he left home and he made his way to the ocean, and he enlisted as a sailor on one of those tall, masted sailing ships. He hadn't been out to sea but a few days when the call came for him to climb the mast to the top of the crow's nest and stand watch. And he started climbing the mast as the ship swayed one way and then another. And this young man had acrophobia, fear of heights, and the further he got up, the more afraid he became, until finally about halfway up the mast, he froze. He was too scared to climb any higher, but he was too afraid to go back down, and he just hung there and did nothing. I've been a pastor for 35 years. And I have to be honest and tell you that I've seen a lot of believers in the church just like that. They're afraid. They're afraid of losing what they have. They're afraid of failing. You know what I tell our staff here at SIBC and staff that I've served with over the years? I hope you fail 9 times out of 10, because if you have one success, it'll be great. Don't be afraid to fail. Just the other day at staff meeting, I said, don't be afraid to fail. And I want to say that to you. Don't be afraid of failure. Take what God has given you and use it. Look at the words of the Master. Really, these are the words of God in verse 29. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Let me sum it up for you this morning like this. Use it or lose it. That's what God's saying. Use it or lose it. Are you complaining about how little you have? Are you complaining about your lack instead of thanking God for what you do have? Have you become so fearful of losing what you've got? Or are you afraid of failure? You're holding on and holding back. I want to encourage you today to make a commitment that says, I'm going to use what God has given to me for His glory. And here's the best part, and my good. Because when we glorify God, His goodness comes to us. 3 quick lessons on giving. Giving is a tangible expression of our trust in God's provision. We give because we know we can't outgive God, and God's going to take care of us. I'm not saying He's going to make you rich and wealthy and you can have a Learjet and drive a car. I'm not making those promises. I'm just saying God's going to care for you. And God will give you something that people with Learjets and fancy cars don't have, the joy of knowing His presence. Number 2, giving is our way of acknowledging that all we have belongs to God. If I can't give what I have to God, that's just another way of saying, it's mine. It's mine. But when I take it out and give, I'm saying, thank you for taking care of me. And finally, giving is an expression of our love and our relationship with God. It really is an indication of how much we trust Him, how much we love Him and His people, and how much we want to see His kingdom touch the lives of others. Let's pray together. Lord, I just thank You for the opportunity today to share with our congregation, with so many people that I've come to know for years now, that love You, that want to serve You. And I pray today, even as we see this full house, which people used to ask me, what are you going to do when the military leaves? Where are all your people going to go? I said, no, we're not going to do anything. God's going to bring more people. And Lord, here they are today. We've trusted You, and You provided greatly here, and You're providing in Pyeongtaek. And now today I want to call on me as pastor and each member of this church to trust You with the gifts You've given us. Time, money, resources, at work, at play, at home, at church, and all we do to trust You. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.